I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. Today, of course, is a public, not a public holiday, is it? Not in Australia. But tonight, the holiday begins. And the people in the world will, of course, go out to celebrate, and they will go late into the night. But I'm very thankful to the Lord that you are in the house of the Lord this evening. You are here to want to remember the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are here to think of His goodness towards us, His mercy and His love towards us. And may this holy desire of yours be very much blessed by the Lord this evening. So that at the conclusion of this worship service, when you leave the house of the Lord, you will be able to say that it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. My question tonight is Christ beautiful to you? The prophet Isaiah prophesied some 700 years before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was what he had to say about Jesus. Remember, this was 700 years before the actual event took place. And he said, "He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty in him that we should desire him." There is no beauty that we should desire him. Now, we are not sure whether or not the Lord Jesus Christ was physically attractive. But we know for sure that people did not see beauty in his spiritual qualities. He came into his own, the Jews. But what did the Jews do to him? The Jews rejected him. They didn't want that kind of a Messiah. What they wanted was a political, powerful, military Messiah that would overthrow the Roman government under which they were living. Now, despite the great miracles that was performed by him, the Jews still rejected him. And they were so disappointed with the Lord Jesus Christ that finally they crucified him. They were disappointed in him because he did not overthrow the Roman government. Here was the Son of God who came and sought that which was lost. He came to heal. He came to do everything that was good. He came to forgive sins. He came to heal. He healed the sick. He healed the blind. He healed the lame. And then there were occasions when he raised people up from the dead. He came to grant forgiveness. He came to grant everlasting life. And he came to grant abundant life. Yet the people hated him so much that they put him to death. They murdered him. Now you say, how could this be the case? The explanation is very clear and simple, my friends. The heart of man is desperately wicked. That's the explanation. The prophet Jeremiah had this to say. He said in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" See how wicked man's heart is in dealing with the Son of God. Look at the hearts of the masses of people in the city of Jerusalem. 5 days before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, yes, the Jews in the city of Jerusalem, or maybe outside of the city of Jerusalem also, they welcomed him with a very, very boisterous welcome. Yes, they sang Hosanna to him. Hosanna, they said, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But just see how fickle and how selfish they were. 5 days later, they crucified him. Yes, 5 days earlier. He rode into the city of Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, and as we said, they gave him that boisterous welcome. And we read in the Word of God, "And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches of the trees, and strewed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." They acknowledged him as the king of Israel. And they were looking forward to his overthrowing the Roman government. But as we said, 5 days later, they crucified him. They completely forgot about all the good that he did, all the miracles that he performed. What were they interested in, my dear friends? They were only interested in the physical, the temporal, the here and now. They were interested in national pride. They were interested in a Messiah that would provide for their physical and their social needs. They thought of him feeding the 5,000, multiplying the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That was the kind of Messiah that they were looking for. My dear friends, they were not interested in repentance from sin. They were not interested in things eternal. They were not interested in pleasing God. But what were they interested in? They were interested in pleasing themselves, not the one true living God. My dear friends, you can be very, very sure that if you seek Christ for physical gains, you are going to be very, very disappointed someday with him, just like the masses 2,000 years ago in the city of Jerusalem. You will never see beauty in the Lord. For example, if you were to seek him for health and for wealth, and you do not get the health and the wealth that you are looking for, you are going to be very, very disappointed with him, and you will reject him. Friends, understand this truth. The Lord's kingdom is not of this world. And he said it very, very clearly when he stood before Pontius Pilate. That was what he said. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom is of this world, then would my servants fight." His kingdom is not of this world. And in the book of Romans, the great apostle Paul said this about the kingdom of God. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, he says, "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." It is a spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Of course, someday soon, when the Lord returns, he's going to establish his kingdom on this earth. But right now, let us understand it is a spiritual kingdom. And if we recognize this truth, yes, only if we recognize this truth, then will we see beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Next, let us look at the wicked heart of the religious people. And it is because of this wicked heart that people do not see beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the heart of the religious people in those days. The priests and the elders, what were they filled with? They were filled with envy. Pilate could see it very, very clearly through them. He knew that it was because of envy that they delivered the Lord Jesus Christ into his hands. And Pilate actually offered to release the Lord Jesus Christ. He offered to set him free, because in those days it was the custom for the Roman governor to release a prisoner at the time of the Passover, as a gesture of goodwill to the Jews. So Pilate offered to release Jesus, to set Jesus free. But what did the Jews want? They didn't want Jesus. They wanted Barabbas to be set free instead. Yes. And who was Barabbas? Barabbas was a wicked man, one who was guilty of wanting to raise rebellion against the Roman government. Yes, but they wanted Barabbas to be released instead, rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jewish religious leaders were very envious of the Lord Jesus. Now, why were they envious? They were envious because the Lord Jesus Christ was attracting a large crowd, and they wanted the crowd to follow them, of course. They did not want to lose their position of power. And so out of envy, they delivered the Lord Jesus Christ into the hands of the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, and demanded that Jesus be put to death. Now, envy can drive a person to do things that are crazy, things that are insane, things that are murderous. Years ago, I read of this Japanese woman who was very envious of the excellent academic performance of her young boy. Yes, because this young boy was performing very, very much better than her own son. And out of envy, you know what she did? She killed that boy. Yes. Envy, my dear friends, can drive people to do very insane things. Yes, it can cause people to harbor hatred and can cause people even to commit murder. The Jews envied the Lord Jesus Christ because they saw no beauty. They envied the Lord Jesus Christ. Rather, so they saw no beauty in him. Now, if we are filled with envy of others, how can we look straight into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ and see beauty in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I want to be like you? No, we won't do it. If we are filled with envy in our hearts, we will not see the beauty in the Lord Jesus, the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, my dear friends, we will hide our faces from him, as the Word of God says. We'll turn our back to him. We'll not see the beauty in his face. Now the wicked hearts of the priests and elders were also filled with hypocrisy. That is why they didn't see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. They arrested Jesus and then they delivered him into the hands of Pontius Pilate. So they brought him to Pilate's judgment hall. But when they came to Pilate's judgment hall, they did not want to go into Pilate's judgment hall because they didn't want to pollute themselves with Gentile uncleanness. And so we read this in John chapter 18. I read for you, verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. From Caiaphas, meaning to say the palace of the high priest Caiaphas, into the hall of judgment, into Pilate's judgment hall. And it was early Friday morning. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, lest they should be polluted, but that they might eat the Passover. You see, they didn't want to go into the judgment hall of Pilate. Why? They didn't want to pollute themselves with Gentile uncleanness, because they were preparing themselves to celebrate the Passover, to partake of the Passover. So, verse 29 tells us, Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring you against this man? So, because they didn't want to go in, Pilate himself had to come out of the out of the judgment hall to meet with them. Yes. Well, what kind of hypocrisy, my dear friends, can we see in these Jewish religious leaders? On one hand, outwardly, they appeared to be very religious. They didn't want to pollute themselves with Gentile uncleanness. But what were they harboring in their hearts? They were plotting to kill the Lord Jesus. They were plotting murder. Outwardly, they appeared good. But inwardly, they were murderers. My dear friends, what do you call that? Isn't that hypocrisy? That was hypocrisy of the highest order. Now, before we judge the priests and the elders that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, let us examine ourselves and see if we ourselves are not hypocritical. Now, outwardly, we look good. On Good Friday evening, we all appear in church. We look good. And we feel good. We feel good about ourselves. But friends, I'm fearful that sometimes we could feel so good about ourselves that we can become very judgmental and critical about the moral conduct of other people. But we forget our own wickedness. Yes, for example, we could be harboring a very unforgiving spirit. There could be people who hurt us. They could even be fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we wish to get back at them. We wish to take revenge against them. We do not wish them well. Instead, we think ill of them. And we do not think of wanting to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse us of that unforgiving spirit. And having this unforgiving spirit. Sometimes we dare even come before the Lord's table to partake of the Lord's supper. What do you call that, my dear friends? Isn't that hypocrisy? It is. It is hypocrisy. Yes, outwardly we want to appear to be very religious, but inwardly we harbor hatred. We have an unforgiving spirit. My dear friends, we will not see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ if we are hypocritical. If we do see beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will surely reflect His holiness. Now the hearts of the religious leaders were also filled with lies. That is why they didn't see beauty in the Lord, the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. First, they tried to bring false witnesses to charge Jesus with blasphemy. They failed. Then they trumped up charges against Him before Pontius Pilate that He was trying to lead a rebellion against Caesar. Of course that was false. When the Lord Jesus Christ ministered, He said it very, very clearly. Render the things that are Caesar's unto Caesar. In other words, He was teaching them to obey civil authority. Pay your taxes. He never taught the people to go against Caesar. How could, my dear friends, these religious leaders see beauty in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, if they were such great liars? And how can, my dear friends, we profess to ourselves, profess to see beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are guilty of lying? Now look at Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea. Here was one who was very, very self-centered. He had a self-centered heart. As a judge, he could not find any fault in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was what he said, "I find in Him no fault at all." And then when he offered to release the Lord Jesus Christ in front of that murderous crowd led by the Jewish religious leaders, this was what he said, "Why? What evil has he done? What evil has he done?" And the crowd cried out more exceedingly, "Crucify him!" And so Pilate, listen to this word, and so Pilate, willing to content the people, willing to please the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged Jesus to be crucified. To preserve his political position, this self-centered man delivered the Lord Jesus Christ to be crucified. He saw no beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ. If he had seen beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ, he would surely have stood on the side of righteousness and would have freed Jesus rather than freeing Barabbas. Friends, for sure, our self-centeredness, our desire to preserve self, our desire to preserve our jobs, our desire to preserve our reputation, our position, very often cause us to stand on the side of wrong. Often, we want to be popular. We will not want to stand up against sin and against unrighteousness. For example, if members of this congregation go the way of the world, we as leaders just keep very quiet about they're going the way of the world. Why? Because we want to be popular. We dare not offend people and therefore we keep quiet. Or if there is a church discipline to be exercised, some people need to be excommunicated, we then do it. Why? Because we want to be popular. We want to preserve our position. My dear friends, if we are self-centered, we want to preserve our popularity, we will not see beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the office, because of our self-centeredness, we will compromise our moral standards. There could be a colleague, for example, who is very tardy, slothful, incompetent in his work, and he has got very, very poor work ethics. And he steals our employer's time by doing his own thing. Yes, and one day he's found out, and our employer decides to sack him. Then there are there is this great majority in the company who stands on the side of this tardy and this slothful colleague. Yes, and they sympathize with him and they threaten the employer, if you sack him, we'll go on strike. Now what would you do, my dear friends, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Which way would you go? Would you stand on the side of righteousness and there go against the crowd? Or would you say, let me maintain my popularity. Let me preserve self. Let me not be isolated. Let me go along. Let me strike with the rest. Or in this instance, would you desire to see beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, in this instance, would you rather opt to see the beauty of the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ and not be self-centered? And then say, Lord, I want to stand on the side of righteousness. My dear friends, if our hearts are filled with envy, hypocrisy, lies, self-centeredness, we will never ever be able to see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us look at the hearts of the disciples. Did they see beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ that they should desire him? Yes, all of them, all the 12 of them professed that they desire him. Remember, they all said, Lord, even if we have to die with you, we will die with you. They said that. Yes, but on the night on which the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed and when he was arrested, what did they do? All of them fled. They deserted him. They did not fulfill their desire to be true to him in the face of persecution. My dear friends, I ask you and I ask myself, would we desert the Lord Jesus Christ just like the disciples did? Today, of course, we are hardly ever persecuted. But there we confess the Lord Jesus Christ in our office. There we confess our Lord Jesus Christ in our schools. For example, before we take our meals in public, do we give thanks to the Lord? Or are we very ashamed of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and we just sink our teeth in our food, just like dogs do? Yes, don't give thanks at all. And then if we are asked whether we are Christians or not, do we blush and very, very apologetically try to explain why we are believers? Or do we very, very boldly sanctify the name of the Lord God in our hearts and are always ready to give an answer to every man that asks us of the reason of the hope that is in us? Yes, with fear and with meekness. Do we do that? Peter denied the Lord 3 times. He was cowardly. Are we sure, my dear friends, we are not like him? Let us not be too sure. Let us not be hard on Peter. At least Peter was better than the rest of the disciples. Peter at least had the courage to follow the Lord Jesus Christ into the palace of the high priest. Friends, we might not see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ enough. We are like Peter. We hide our Christianity. Yes, it's true, we do not blatantly deny the Lord Jesus Christ as Peter did. But has anybody asked us this question? Are you a Christian? Has anybody asked you that question? You say, no. Throughout all my life, nobody has ever asked me whether I'm a Christian or not. You know why they've never asked you whether you are a Christian or not? Perhaps, my dear friends, your life is such that you do not see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no reason for anybody to ask you why, whether you are a believer or not. You blend very well into the world. You are just like people in the world. No difference from them. You have never ever publicly confessed the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have never lived like a Christian. Friends, be warned. Be warned. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us this warning. And he says to us, Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. This is the warning from our Lord. We don't confess him, he will not confess us. We deny him, he will deny us. So friends, where is our loyalty? Dare we confess the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we proud of his beauty, or do we see no beauty in him and we are very ashamed of him who died for us? Now if we have been denying him, friends, let us, like Peter, tonight repent with godly sorrows. You know, when Peter repented, he wept with godly sorrow. He really repented after he denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. He went up out of the palace of the high priest and he wept bitterly. He truly repented. And after the Lord Jesus Christ rose up from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ forgave him. He took him back and restored to him his position of being an apostle. If we have been denying him, friends, tonight, ask for forgiveness. Let's repent from our sins and let us dare confess the name of our Lord. Now let us focus on the beauty of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now his beauty is spiritual beauty. It is beauty and holiness. And he showed his spiritual beauty by displaying the fruit of the Spirit. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? Not fruits, but fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance, 9 parts of the fruit of the Spirit. And the Lord Jesus Christ showed forth this fruit when he was tormented, when he was tortured, and when he hung on the cross of Calvary. Just look at the meekness of our Savior, part of the fruit of the Spirit. See how meek he was. And this was very, very graphically described for us. I'd like us to turn to Isaiah chapter 53, and in your reading today, on the bulletin, Isaiah 53, in the program sheet. Isaiah 53, and I'd like to read these 2 verses for you. Isaiah 53, verses 6 and 7. 53 and verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Remember, this was written about 700 years before the event actually took place. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And look at him. Look at Jesus in fulfillment of this prophecy when he stood before Pontius Pilate. Yes, he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before a shearer is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Look at the fulfillment of this prophecy. I'd like us to look at Matthew chapter 27 and look at verses 11 to 13. I read for you. 27, 11 to 13. In the program sheet again, verse 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, Pontius Pilate. And the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest, meaning to say, you have said it. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, he openeth not his mouth. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Do we not see the fulfillment of this great prophecy that was made 700 years before the event actually took place? The Lord Jesus Christ merely said, as you said it, that was the truth. Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And that was the truth, and he didn't deny it, and so he said, as you said it. Now look at all the accusations that were brought against him. They said that he was anti-Caesar. He was trying to lead a rebellion against the Roman governor or against the Roman government. Now, if anyone was guilty of that crime, he would be facing the death penalty. And anyone facing the death penalty would surely defend tooth and nail his innocence. And even if he's not innocent, surely, my dear friends, he will try very hard to make himself look very innocent. But look at Jesus. He opened not his mouth. Pilate knew that the Lord was perfectly innocent. And he marveled greatly that Jesus didn't even raise a single protest against these false accusations. Yes, Pilate marveled at his silence. To put it another way, Pilate was completely overawed by the calm, by the peace, by the meekness of this man who stood before him. Now I want to ask you this question. Who was actually in control of the situation? The Roman governor, Pilate? The mob led by the Jewish religious leaders? Or this prisoner who was in chains standing before Pontius Pilate? Who was in control? My dear friends, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was absolutely in control. And his silence spoke volumes. His silence thundered way above the noises of the mob. It thundered, my dear friends, way above the pronouncements of Pontius Pilate. The Lord was perfectly in control. He's perfect God and he's perfect man. Did he not have the power to destroy Pilate and all those who accuse him? Of course he had. But he kept that power under control. And what do you call that, my dear friends? Power under control. It is meekness, as we said before. Friends, do you not see meekness? The beauty of meekness in our Lord Jesus Christ. And because our Lord was meek, he could be brought as the lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He is indeed the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. Now if he was not meek, you and I would still be in our sins. Yes? Friends, let's think of this truth. Our Lord is meek. He is brought as the lamb to the slaughter on our behalf. Let's praise him for his meekness. And friends, let us this evening resolve to be meek as he was meek. Next, let us see the beauty of the long-suffering and temperance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what is temperance? Temperance simply means self-control. Look at the verbal, the physical, the mental abuses that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, suffered in the high priest's palace and in Pilate's judgment hall. Look at Matthew 26. All right, this you have to refer to the Bible. Matthew 26. The first book of the New Testament, Matthew 26. Please help our friends to refer to the Bible. Matthew 26, verses 67 and 68. Matthew 26, 67 and 68. I read for you these two verses. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him. Buffeted him means tormented him. And others smote him with the palms of their hands. In other words, they slapped him, saying, "Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee?" Now to be a Jew, to be spat on, even by his own father, yes, he would be regarded as bad as a leper. And friends, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was not spared by just anyone. He was spared by the crowd. Yes, by the crowd. Surely he was treated worse than a leper. And the book of Mark tells us that they blindfolded him, they struck him, and they said, "Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee?" Friends, you try spitting into the face of your school teacher, you students. Try spitting into the face of your school principal. Or you working in the office, try spitting into the face of your boss. See what kind of response you're going to get. But here they were abusing the Son of God. How long-suffering and how full of temperance he was. Could he not have called 10,000 angels to destroy all those who tormented him? Surely he could, my dear friends, but he did not. Do you not see the beauty of his long-suffering and his temperance? And then they made a spectacle of him in Pilate's judgment hall. And this we read in Matthew chapter 27. Again, it's not in your program, but Matthew 27, verses 27 to 31. And this happened in Pilate's judgment hall, rather in the common hall, not so much the judgment hall. Verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, verse 28, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when he had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they pretended that he was king. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. They made a spectacle of him in the common hall. Then look at the spectacle they made of him when he hung on the cross. Look at Matthew 27 and 38 to 44. 38. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Verse 41. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Do you not see beauty in the Lord's long-suffering and his temperance? On the top of all those railings and abuses, they finally crucified him. And you know what he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you not see the beauty of divine love? On the cross, he bore the sins of the world. He bore the very sins of the people who crucified him. The religious leaders, the mob, Pontius Pilate, he bore their sins. Yes, but friends, let us understand, we are not innocent either. He bore our sins also. Which means, my dear friends, it was also our sins that nailed him to the cross. Your sins and my sins. See how kind, how gracious, how good our Savior is. Do we not see the beauty of this Savior of ours? Or are we like those who were prophesied in the book of Isaiah? Alright, I'd like us to turn to these two verses. Yes, these two verses, Isaiah 53, verses 2 and 3, your bulletin, you'll find these two verses. Isaiah 53, verses 2 and 3. I'll read for you. Are we like these people, my dear friends, prophesied in the book of Isaiah? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, referring to Jesus, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. We do not see any beauty in him. My dear friends, I hope you are not one of those people prophesied in this prophecy made by Isaiah. But friends, this evening, let us come to the foot of the cross. Let us see beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us see his love, see his long-suffering, see his goodness, see his gentleness, see his meekness, and see his temperance. And let us pray to the Heavenly Father. Yes, as he forgives to the, as he prayed to the Heavenly Father, Father, forgive them. Let us this evening pray to the Heavenly Father. Father, please answer the prayer of your only begotten Son. As he prayed, Father, forgive them. Lord, do forgive us as he had prayed to you to forgive us. And pray for his precious blood this evening to cleanse us of all our sins and let us see his beauty. Pray that he will come into your hearts today if you have never received him as your Lord and Savior. This evening, come to the foot of the cross. See the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent from your sins and come and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you are sincere and you say, Lord, I want you to come into my heart this evening. And if you mean it, he will take you at your word and he will come into your heart this evening. And you will begin to see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, those of us who are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, let us pray this evening that we will truly see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And pray that this beauty that we see in him may also be seen in us. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Savior who went to the cross of Calvary for us. This evening, O Lord, we pray that we may be able to have spiritual eyes to see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you will forgive us, O Lord, of our sins and our iniquities that cause us to hide ourselves from you. Lord, we pray that we may not do that this evening. We pray that you will cleanse us of all our sins and our iniquities. And we pray, Lord, that you will open our spiritual eyes so that we may be able to behold the beauty of the Savior. And we pray for those who are still outside your kingdom. May you speak to their hearts and cause them, O Lord God, this evening to turn to you and to receive you as their Lord and Savior. Cause them also to see the beauty of the Lord. And we pray that all of us who have trusted in you as Lord and Savior already, we may not only see your beauty, but we will clearly reflect that beauty in our lives. For we pray and ask all this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.